Sadam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in Sandeha Nivarini. Today is July 23rd, 2020. We are in the 7th chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. We have spent considerable amount of time in this chapter, and it is for a very special reason. In the beginning of the chapter itself, Bhagwan says, I am going to delineate for you very potent principles for life. Don't read them lightly. Meditate on them. Think how you can internalize them. And that is the reason why we have been going very slow, taking each point and contemplating on how we can draw the lessons from those important principles and make them part of our lives. Today we move on to segment 7.5. This segment has the last few principles that Bhagwan gave in this chapter 7, and with that we will also conclude chapter 7. So let me play for you segment 7.5, and today we will discuss the first point in this segment point number 42. Let's listen to what Bhagwan has written.
The Lord is understood only by the Bhakta. The Bhakta is understood only by the Lord. Others cannot understand them. So, do not get into argumentation about divinity with those who do not have devotion. Such discussions will only weaken your devotion. 43. If anyone speaks to you with wrong understanding of any subject, do not think of other wrong notions which will support that stand. However, grasp the good and pleasant feelings in them, which is its true meaning. Do not get into wrong and varied meanings which will lead to meaninglessness and ruin your ananda. 44. Cultivate one-pointedness. Do not scatter your vision to the four corners and on everything, be it a market or a crowd, but see only the road in front of you and move forward. Ensure that you take care of your body and avoid accidents. One-pointedness will become stronger if one moves about without taking one's attention off the road, avoiding dangers and having your vision not distracted with other objects. 45. Give up all doubts regarding the Guru and God. If your worldly desires do not get fulfilled, do not blame it on your devotion. There is no relationship between such desires and devotion to God. These worldly desires have to be given up some day or the other. Bhakti has to be necessarily acquired. Develop this strong conviction. 46. If you are unable to fix your mind on the sadhana of dhyana or japa, or if the desires you have entertained do not come to fruition, do not get frustrated with God. It will dispirit you even more, and you will lose the peace, however small or big, that you might have earned. When you do dhyana and japa, you should not be filled with feelings of frustration, dispiritedness and dejection. When such feelings come, take it that it is the fault of your own sadhana and endeavor to do them correctly. It is only when in your daily conduct and in all actions you automatically behave and act in this manner and along these lines that you can attain the divine principle very easily. Therefore, hold on to these maxims firmly. Chew and relish these spoken sweets distributed on the birthday festival of your Swami and be happy. Have you understood?
Your words are like nectar, Swami. In all these ordinary dealings of life, man does not know the road. He follows the wrong track and does not read the books which tell him the means of a happy journey. For all such people who are struggling like me, what you have said are pertinent points to reflect. We are indeed blessed. Bless me that these words get imprinted on my heart and are realized in practice every day. There is no good in simply listening or reading them. It is only when your grace accompanies them that we get strength. I shall take leave, Swami.
All right, go and come for the birthday festival. There are just 7 days more, isn't it? Today is the 16th. The birthday is on November 23rd. So there are 7 days left. Till that time, let this sweetness fill and overflow your heart.
So that is how chapter 7 ends. And we have few more sessions before we reach there. Today, let us take a point number 42. Here Bhagwan says, the Lord is understood only by the Bhakta. The Bhakta is understood only by the Lord. Others cannot understand them. And Swami says, so do not go into argumentation about divinity with those who have no devotion. Such discussions will only weaken your devotion. In fact, as I read these lines, others cannot understand the relationship between the Bhakta and the Lord, between Bhakta and Bhagavan, the devotee, and God. So many instances flood your mind. We were so fortunate to actually see God in action and watch this beautiful relationship in real life. I cannot but recall one of the most beautiful souls, the being who was hailed by Bhagwan himself as one of his devotees. Rarely does someone call anyone a devotee. And Bhagwan used to talk about Sai Gita as the one who had complete one-pointed focus on the Lord. No one understood the relationship between Sai Gita and Sai Baba. One instance comes to mind. It was the last day of Dasara 2006, the Vijayadashami day. And one hostel boy had the opportunity to accompany Sai Gita along with Sri Padaredi to Sai Kulwant Hall. And once they reached Mandir, this brother says, and we all have been witness to this, how Sai Gita's eyes were always focused on Bhagwan's residence. And finally, when Bhagwan came, darshan started, and slowly as Bhagwan came near her, Bhagwan was on his wheel sofa, and Swami was about to feed her with some fruits, and there was some saliva dropping from Saigita's trunk, and so this boy immediately took two white napkins and he covered Swami's feet and robe so that they don't become wet with Saigita's saliva. But no sooner had he done that, Swami commanded this boy to take the napkins away. And then he saw how when Bhagwan went near Saigita, Saigita's trunk started so eagerly, hungrily caressing Swami's feet. The saliva was dropping from her mouth, but that did not bother Swami a bit. She was hungry for his love. It was so obvious. And later, when Bhagwan held out fruits for her and asked her to take them in her trunk, because Swami was sitting on the sofa, Saigita was just not accepting the fruits. And I remember sitting there as a person witnessing this scene, I was thinking, why is Saigita not accepting fruits from Swami? That's being so rude. How can she do it? Bhagwan is giving fruits and she's not accepting. And after a while, I saw that Bhagwan stood up. And at that point in time, Swami said something to one of the boys near him. And later I learned, Swami had told, she will not take fruits from me like this. She will accept it only when I feed her in the mouth. That is how Bhagwan had brought up Saigita when she was just a few weeks old baby. Bhagwan had personally fed her, and always Swami would feed her into the mouth. Swami would feed her lunch, and Saigita would never allow anyone else to feed her in that manner. Everyone else could give fruits to her on the trunk, but only Swami could feed her in the mouth. And that day Swami said, I know she will not take fruits from me like this. And Bhagwan got up, and that point in time, you could see Saigita's ears were flapping excitedly. She was in ecstasy. Her eyes were overcome with emotion as Swami stood right beside her and fed her with apples and bananas right inside her mouth, just like a mother would do for her dear child. Who can understand the relationship between a bhakta and the Lord? This is what Swami is telling. Different people might speak different things, just like I thought something else. But what goes on in the heart of the devotee is only known to the Lord. And that is why Swami says, don't have discussions about these things with people who have no devotion. Because they will only distract you, confuse you, they will only weaken your love for God. In a beautiful discourse that Bhagwan gave in Tribhuvanavan, 1987, the 3rd of May, Bhagwan says, there was a woman devotee who was a worshipper of Krishna. Every morning she used to clean the shrine of Krishna in her house, and she would do it with cow dung. Cow dung in India is a very, very sacred item. In fact, in the scriptures, in the Indian scriptures, it is said, of all the 84 lakh species of living entities, only the cow is such an entity whose dung is not impure, but rather it purifies every kind of impurity. The Upanishads even go on to say, Gomae vasate Lakshmi. Goddess Lakshmi lives in the cow dung. That is how sacred cow dung is. According to Sri Dharma Paddhati, another sacred text, every day early in the morning, the woman of the house should smear cow dung throughout the home. Once she does this, she will meet with no difficulties. They say that the threshold of the house is not to be left blank. The woman must smear cow dung at the threshold and make auspicious powder designs over it and mark with an auspicious sign of swastika. A woman who follows these rituals will have wealth, long life and good reputation. Ayurveda describes cow dung as germicidal, nourishing, which gives brightness to the body, destroyer of bad odor, which is a moisturizer, which is holy and supremely pure, which has a transcendental property of curing skin diseases and reducing toxins of blood. In many yajnas, the fire is burnt using dried cow dung and ghee, and it is said that burning cow dung with ghee is one of the best ways to purify the home. Scientifically, researchers have found that cow dung purifies the air and also has anti-pollutant and anti-radiation qualities. So in Indian culture, it has always been a tradition to worship and clean the house with cow dung. So this is what the woman devotee was doing. She was a worshipper of Krishna, and every morning she used to clean the shrine with cow dung. And she used to do another interesting thing. After cleaning her shrine with cow dung, she would throw the remnants of the cow dung outside, saying, Krishna Arpanamastu. Let this be an offering to Krishna. That is how people in earlier times used to dedicate their every action to Krishna. So this is what was the routine of this lady, Bhagwan tells in his discourse. But one thing that the priest of the local Krishna temple there noticed absolutely left him bedazzled, because every morning after this priest had washed and decorated the idol of Krishna with garlands, when he was about to offer arati, suddenly the priest would find that a lump of cow dung used to fall on the face of the idol. And he would be so distressed. How did this happen? And this was happening every day. And he didn't know who and how is the idol getting desecrated like this. So one day he went to the village elders and he said that, I don't know what is happening, but every day this is what is happening. And so the village elders also came into the temple and they saw that, yes, as he's offering arati, every day at the same time, suddenly the idol is getting smashed with this lump of cow dung. And now the village elders said, we have to find out, we have to solve this problem. And so they set up a vigilance squad who will find out how is this happening. And so they went around the village trying to see what could be the reason, what could be the reason. And in one street they found a woman making cow dung. And they saw that this woman was throwing cow dung outside her house. And every time as she was throwing her house, she was uttering Krishna Arpanamastu, Krishna Arpanamastu. And now they saw that this is something interesting. This lady is making cow dung and she's throwing out of the house. But what was very, very revealing was they found that at the same time when this lady was throwing cow dung, the idol in that temple also was getting smashed with cow dung. It was happening exactly at the same time. So now the village elders thought, okay, we have found the solution. We know the problem. So they called this lady and they reprimanded her for her unbecoming conduct. They said, do you know what you're doing every time you're throwing the cow dung, saying Krishna Arpanamastu, our Krishna idol is getting dirty and they started accusing her. And the old woman said, sir, I am incapable of hurling cow dung on the face of my Krishna. I love my Krishna. I'm ready to give my life for my Krishna. How can I ever do this? This is not my intention. So now the elders tell him, okay. You do one thing. From today onwards, as you throw the cow dung outside your house, do not utter the word Krishna Arpanamastu. Because you're uttering that word Krishna, idol there is getting completely dirty with cow dung. And so this lady said, okay, if this is what you want, I will not say Krishna Arpanamastu. So she stopped doing that because her husband and everyone said, don't utter Krishna Arpanamastu when you throw the leftover cow dung after you cleaned your shrine in your house. And so from that day onwards, she didn't do that. But the people, the priest and the people of the village saw now something else happening. From that day onwards, the doors in the Krishna temple would not open. How much ever they tried, how much ever the priest tried, they just were unable to open the doors of the Krishna temple. And the village elders only then realized, oh my God, Krishna is angry with us because we reprimanded his devotee. Bhagavan says, how foolish are the people. They didn't even understand it in the beginning. What is the devotion of this lady that whatever she offered, it went directly to the Lord? That was the purity of heart of this lady. Because for the Lord, there is nothing good or bad. For you, it is, for me, it is cow dung cake. For Lord, you offer anything, but if there is purity, the Lord will accept anything. We know of devotees who have offered things which others might consider as not sattvic, but the Lord has accepted. And He has accepted from all kinds of people, all kinds of things. Because what the Lord sees is something else. No one can understand. That's what Swami is telling. You cannot understand the relationship between the Lord and the devotee. And this is what happened here. Only the Lord knew the heart of this lady. And the lady, for the lady, the Lord was everything. And Bhagavan says, once they realized their mistake, the temple doors opened. And Bhagavan makes that statement. No one can understand the ways of the devotees. Maybe only another devotee can understand the ways of another devotee. But the relationship between the God and the devotee is beyond the ken of anyone. And in that discourse, Bhagavan also adds, Swami says, phenomena such as these are happening all over Bharat. It is because of such devotion that Bharat has remained a holy land through the ages. Swami says it is because of such devotion that India is India. India, Bharat, is what it is and has remained a country of this sanctity, of this level of sacredness, because there are such souls who have developed that rati, that love for Bhagavan. That is what is Bharat. And this Bhagavan himself is saying, because only he knows what is going on in the hearts of the devotees. In fact, in the same discourse, Bhagavan goes on to talk about Meera. Swami says, after her marriage, she requested her husband to build a temple for Krishna, and the Rana built a temple for her in marble, and Meera started spending all the time in that temple singing bhajans, oblivious of the world outside. And the Rana, who allowed Meera to carry on her worship of Krishna as agreed to by him before the marriage, now the Rana was vexed, because the Rana saw that Meera is completely absorbed in Krishna. And now the Rana said, this is going too much, and he prohibits her from going to the temple and closes the doors of the temple so that she stops this mad devotion for Krishna. And that is where Swami says, Meera felt the Rana may bar me from the temple which he has built, but who can bar me from seeking the Krishna who resides in the temple of my heart? Can anyone stop me from me staying with my Krishna who lives in the temple of my heart? Can anyone prevent me from entering the temple of my heart? And Swami says, Meera, who was fully centered on Lord Krishna, she ran towards Dwarka through forests and hills in defying storm and rain and singing all the way, calling out Krishna, Krishna. And when she reached Dwarka, she entered the temple but found the doors of the sanctorum closed. Despite all her efforts, the doors would not open. She cried out, "Oh Krishna!" She was singing, she was holding cymbals in hand and tambura in the other, and she said, "I don't want to have anything, I don't need anything, I'm throwing away these cymbals, and this tambura is not needed. You cannot get away from me, I have abandoned everything, O Krishna. I will just cling to your feet, and I just need your feet." And she falls there, crying in anguish. She knocks her head against the door of the sanctum and she falls into a swoon. And Bhagavan says, an effulgent flame emerged from her body and became one with the Krishna idol. Swami says, few can understand the ways in which devotion manifests itself among the lovers of God. Who can understand? Human relations come and go, but the association with God is eternal. When one offers everything to God, the Lord submits himself to the devotee, Swami says. Like that old woman, so innocently she was saying Krishna Arpanamastu, but it reached the Lord. Like Meera, who had nothing in her life but Krishna, and it reached the Lord. If you see the songs of Meera, each one is so full of intense emotion. Hari guna gavat nachungi, Meera sings. Hari guna gavat nachungi, Prabhu guna gavat nachungi. I will dance singing the glories of Hari. I will dance singing the glories of the Lord. Sitting in my own temple, apne mandir mein baith baith kar. Gita Bhagavat bachungi. I will read the Gita Bhagavat sitting in my own temple. Jnana dhan ki gatthi bandh kar, Hari har sang mein lagungi. I will stick to the company of Hari. I will make a bundle of knowledge and meditation, and I will stick to the company of Hari. Meera kahe Prabhu Giridhar Nagar, sada prem ras chakhungi, says, I will enjoy the feeling, I will relish that love towards my Giridhar, towards my Krishna. Take any song of Meera and you will find this intensity. Each song comes so much from the depth of feeling, depth of pining. Meera says, my greedy eyes cannot be weaned away from looking at Krishna from head to foot every inch. They are looking at his beauty with eager desire. I stood in my home and the enchanter passed by. His face shone like the moon. He was smiling gently. Family folk may forbid any talk about it, but my restless heart will not listen. The hand has been given away. Let people say good things or bad things. I will bear them all. Meera cannot live even a moment without her beloved Giridhar. Meera Prabhu, Giridharan, Lal Bin, Pal Chin, Rakhyo Na Jaya. Meera cannot live even a moment without her beloved Giridhar, the Lord who upheld the mountain. Oh, darling Krishna. Swami says different people will say so many things. Don't go into argumentation with these people, and that is what Meera is telling. Let people say good things or bad things about me. I will bear them all. I am not going to explain to them. I am not going to justify to them my actions. My mind has been given to Krishna. I cannot live a moment without my Krishna. There are so many such songs. Neend ladi nahi aave sari raat. Kis vidh hoi prabhat. Sleep does not come the whole night. When will dawn break? Chamak utho sapne sudhi bholi. Chandra kala na sohat. Forgotten dreams keep me awake. The moon's rays do not please me. My life passes in restlessness. When will I meet my Lord Dinanath, the protector of the afflicted? I am mad. I am not conscious of my body. Nobody understands my agony. Only he knows my state, in whose hands are life and death. Meera kahe, biti soi jane, maran jivan jin haath. Meera kahe, biti soi jane, maran jivan jin haath. Only he knows my state. Nobody else understands my pain. This is what Swami also says. The relationship between the devotee and the Lord is opaque to everyone. And that is why Bhagwan says, don't discuss about this with those who have no love for the Lord, because they will never be able to fathom, and they might say things which will dispirit you, which will momentarily distance you from your path, from your goal. In another beautiful discourse that Bhagwan delivered during the summer course of 1995, Swami talked about Shirdi Sai Baba, and Swami said how once Damu and Nana were rendering service to Baba, and they saw that Shirdi Baba collected a few copper coins and was playing with them by tossing them from one hand to another, and he was testing them in various ways, and he kept doing this for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He was not speaking anything, but just a few copper coins, and he was continuously tossing them from one hand to other and constantly examining them. So Damu and Nana, who were there, they wondered, what is Baba doing? So finally they asked, Nana asked, why are you scrutinizing the same coins again and again, Baba? Is there anything that, you know, we can do? Are you looking for something? And Baba says, Beta, it is true, I am repeating the same action again and again. Look at that mango tree in front of you. It is in full bloom. Leaves are hardly visible. If all the flowers in the tree were to become fruits, will the branches be able to bear the weight? But it does not happen that way. Baba explains, most of the flowers are swept away by the wind. Many others drop of their own accord. Some of them become fruits. Of some of the flowers which become fruits, some are eaten by squirrels, birds and monkeys. So in this way, 90% of the flowers do not result in fruits which would be used by humans. Only 10% remain in the tree. Is it not so? Baba asks Nana. And both of them, Nana and Damu, agree. And then Baba continues, no one comes for my sake. In the same manner, thousands of devotees are coming to me. But are they really ripening into good devotees? Many drop away in the middle. Some come because they have some desires. Some seek wealth. Many come because they want some success in their job, in their marriage, some fulfillment of their personal desires. There is some defect or the other in each one of them. No one really comes for my sake. And Baba says, I have a precious thing to offer in my coffers, but no one wants that. That is why I am examining each one of them. And Baba looked at the coins. See? In this coin, there are some which are worn out, some are debased, some are twisted, some are worthless. That is what I am also doing. I am looking among the devotees who come to me. I am trying to see what defects are there in these people. With those defects, can they really comprehend my truth? They want me, but all their desires are related to mundane things. How will they attain me with this attitude? How can you reach your destination if you get into a wrong train, going in some other direction? These people want me, but they don't make any efforts for realizing me. Among the many who come to me, it is only one in a thousand who really makes the effort to realize me. One in a thousand. The minds of all the other so-called devotees are turned in the wrong directions. If their desires are fulfilled, they praise me. If their desires are not realized, they go to the extent of even reviling me. Some even leave me when their desires are not satisfied. How can all these people reach me? They are not sincere devotees at all. So Baba started explaining what he was examining and the devotees that are coming to him. And then, as an example, Baba says, at one time a wealthy man came to me with, and he said he wants Brahmajnana, supreme wisdom. And he started talking about his wealth. And then Baba asked him, okay, how long will you be here? He said, I have come by a taxi and I have fixed the to and fro charges, so I have to return in a day or two. So I just need quickly Brahmajnana from you. And Baba says, when you have this much greed for wealth, how can you realize God? And it is not a goal that can be accomplished in a day or two. Get away from here. Shirdi Baba used to be very furious and he chased that person away. But at the same time, Swami went on to say, but for those who sought his grace with purity of heart and with selfless devotion, Baba conferred his grace on them abundantly. And that is where Bhagwan gives the instance of Mataji Krishnapriya, who was one such devotee. She lived in Nagpur and she used to worship Krishna, and she considered Baba also as another form of Krishna. She frequently visited Shirdi to seek Baba's blessings with genuine devotion. Once she went to Shimla and she was offering worship with unstinted devotion to Krishna, considering Krishna as Baba. When Baba left his mortal coil on Vijayadashmi Day in 1918, 2:30 p.m., Krishnapriya also heard about it and she was very crestfallen. Immediately after this was Ekadashi. Baba had told his close devotee Kakaji in the year 1916 that Dada would be shedding his mortal coil in 1918. Kakaji thought that Baba was mentioning about Dada Sahib, another devotee. He never thought that Baba was making that reference to himself. On September 28, 1918, Bhagwan, Baba developed high temperature. 2 days earlier, he had collected food by seeking alms in some houses. He took that food and at noon he expressed his wish to his devotees that he should be taken from the chowl tree to Butiwada. Baba hoped to have a quiet time there, and in that ward, a Muralidhar temple had been built by Bhuti. Bhuti wanted Baba to install an idol of Krishna in the temple, and Baba was putting off the installation on one pretext or the other. Bhuti did not want to install the idol without the blessings of Baba. Until the end, we know how Baba did not say anything about the installation of the idol. And that day, he directed Bhuti and Kakaji to go and have their lunch. When they saw that Baba was feeling little better, they went out, and during this time, Baba had 9 rupee coins under his pillow. He took them out and Baba gave them to Lakshmi Bai, and then Baba calls Shama to come near him, and Shama is close to Baba. Baba now reclines on Shama's shoulders. On Shama's shoulders, Baba leaves his mortal coil. So when Krishnapriya, Mataji Krishnapriya in Shimla heard about all these, she was very sad the whole day. It was winter in Shimla, very cold. She had closed all the doors and windows in the house. When she was resting in the house, a tall and well-built monk arrived at the neighbor's door and inquired about Mataji's house. So the neighbor sent a servant with an umbrella, because it was snowing, to show this stranger in a long robe the house of Mataji. And when the stranger knocked at the door and Mataji opened the house, she could not believe her eyes, because Baba was standing right in front of her. And she said, "How did you manage to come, Baba? They say you passed away the previous day. How are you here? It takes at least 3 days to come from Shirdi to Shimla." And Baba says, "Beti, I am everywhere. You have worshipped me in the form of Krishna. Is this all you know about me? Come on, I am feeling very cold. First give me some hot tea." And Baba comes into the house and she prepares tea and she offers it to Baba. And after taking tea, Baba says, "Oh, I am feeling hungry after this long journey." And so Krishnapriya makes chapatis and brinjal curry, which Baba used to like very much. And after Baba takes the food and he washes his hands and he wipes them in the towel. And then he tells her, okay, the purpose for which I came is over. I am now going away. And in those days, no one generally dared to exchange too much of conversation with Baba. If anybody opposed or said anything to the contrary, Baba sometimes would seemingly get very angry. So Krishnapriya did not tell anything. But as Baba left, Baba gave her a jasmine garland. And Krishnapriya watched as Baba stepped out of his house, her house, and walked through the market. In Shimla on the roadside, there are usually deep valleys. And as Baba was walking along, some workmen were engaged in some road work. They noticed that the Baba came and he had fallen down from the road. They ran to rescue him, but when they looked, they saw that there was nobody there. Baba had just disappeared. But before taking leave of Krishnapriya, Baba whispered in her ears, "See me in 1926. But Krishnapriya did not know where to see him, how to see him. Bhagwan in that discourse says, "When I went to Shimla in the 80s, Krishnapriya came to see me. She was shivering on account of age and cold weather. She asked, 'Baba, have you forgotten the promise that you made to me long ago? And Swami says, I told her, "It is you who has forgotten, not I. I never forget what I promise." And in that discourse, Bhagwan goes on to talk about so many more beautiful anecdotes from the life of Shri. This connection between the devotee and the Lord, which no one can understand. In fact, the story of Krishnapriya does not end there. As Krishna Baba leaves the body in Shirdi, he appears in Shimla for Krishnapriya, gives her a garland, whispers in her ears, "See me in 1926, and Baba gives her darshan before Krishnapriya leaves her body. He keeps the promise. But there is something more interesting. In that discourse, Baba Swami talks about another instance where once a devotee by name Dada's wife brought her child to Baba with the intention of staying for some time in Shirdi, and she got her husband's reluctant approval for the visit. At that time, plague was rampant in Shirdi. On the second day of her arrival, the child developed fever and boils all over the body, and the mother felt sorry that she had not acted on her husband's advice and lamented, "Who will now protect my child from this infection?" She immediately rushed to Baba and cried aloud, "Baba, Baba." Baba asked her, "What happened?" And she said, "My child is having fever. There are boils on his body." And when Baba hears that, Baba says, "Oh, your child is having boils on his body." Baba says, "Not only your child, I am also having boils. See?" And Swami raises his kafni. Baba raises his kafni, his robe, and he shows the boil. And Mahasalpati, who was there, he sees there, "Oh my God," he says, "Baba, there are such large boils. And we don't know." And he touches Baba's body and they see that he's having high fever. The temperature was like 104, 105. And the mother cried, "Oh Baba, this disease has affected not only my son, but you also. My God, who will protect us now? Who will protect you?" And then Baba says, "Is there any other person to protect the one who is the protector of all?" And the mother immediately falls at Baba's feet and begs forgiveness. And just a few minutes later, Baba's fever comes down and the mother returns home feeling happy. And when she goes home, she sees that her child is completely fine. All the boils vanish from the child. And then she cries, "Oh Baba, did you take on my child's illness? How compassionate you are." Bhagwan in that discourse says that Shirdi Baba used to demonstrate his powers as and when the occasion arose. Why? It was solely due to Paripurna Vishwasa which people had in Baba, Swami says. Because of the faith that people had, the devotees followed implicitly whatever Baba directed them to do, Swami says. And then Swami says, but now whenever I say something, people have questions and doubts and argumentation. This is what modern education has done, Bhagwan says. People have forgotten their natural way to believe in the supreme power. They don't have that faith. Reason comes in the way of implicit faith. And Baba continues the story of his leaving the physical body, and Swami says that on September 28, 1918, Baba developed fever. For 17 days thereafter, he was quite well. He was fine. On October 15th, Baba was not to be found anywhere. And Lakshman Rao, Nana, Kaka and Das, they all searched for him all over the place. And there was a small well nearby. They went to see if Baba had fallen into the well, inside the well. When they returned to Baba's abode, they saw that now Baba is standing near the door. And Baba says, "Where are you searching for me? I am in one place and you search for me elsewhere." And there Baba makes that beautiful statement. Baba says, "I am in all pure hearts. You are searching me in all polluted places. How can you find me?" And Bhagwan says, Baba left his body only on October 15th. He developed high temperature on September 28th, but he was well for the next 17 days. And we know how when Bhagwan Baba left his body, there was this argumentation between the Hindus and Muslims, and finally the collector and the police superintendent of that area come and they prevent the clashes, and they settle the issue, and they decide that the samadhi to be consecrated in the Muralidhara temple, that's where Baba's body was going to be placed. And that is how the Samadhi Mandir of Shirdi came into being. But Bhagwan says, at this time, a remarkable incident happened in Shimla. The garland which Baba had given to Mataji Krishnapriya, Mataji Krishnapriya placed on the idol of Krishna, that garland, in her residence. And the people in her family thought, why is she garlanding Krishna when she loves Baba so much? There was a picture of Baba also. And bhajans were going on in her home in Shimla. And they saw that the garland that was placed on Krishna idol dropped and fell on the picture of Baba. And then they saw that the garland placed on the picture of Baba moved again to the figure of Krishna. It was so clear. Krishna and Sai are same. And when the people of the family saw the shrine the next morning, they were even more amazed because they saw that the garland given by Baba was now no longer on the figure of Krishna. It was not in the house at all. It was not in the figure of Krishna. It was not in the figure of Baba in the house. That garland was found now on the samadhi of Baba in the Bhuti Mandir. It had traveled from Shimla to Shirdi. Who can understand the leelas of the Lord? Who can understand the relationship between the devotee and the divine? Bhakta and Bhagwan, and that is what Swami says. No one can understand this relationship. And all these things, if you try to understand through science, you will go into a lot of intellectual gymnastics and rigmaroles, unnecessary mind work. These are things that happens in the plane of the heart. The mind can never ever reach there. And if you try to understand the things of the heart with the mind, then you will only be weakening the heart. And that is what Swami says. Do not try to fathom, do not try to understand the relationship between the Bhakta and Bhagwan in this point number 42 of Sandeha Nivarani, chapter 7. Swami is saying the Lord is understood by the Bhakta and the Bhakta is understood only by the Lord. Others cannot understand them. Do not go into argumentation about divinity with those who do not have devotion. Such discussions will only weaken your devotion. I just only shared a few instances of this relationship which Bhagwan himself has told in his discourses. There are any number of such instances. In fact, there is in the heart of every devotee instances of this beautiful relationship, and every devotee knows that only Lord knows about what connect I have with my Swami. And it is best that I don't argue, don't talk about this with those who have no love for God in their heart. And that is what Swami tells. Don't have such discussions with those who know nothing about what it is to love God. You be in your ecstasy like that woman who was making cow dung cakes, like Meera, like Krishna Priya, and you will become Priya to the Lord. You will become dear and near to the Lord. So dear listeners, there is no end to such stories, and there is no end to the joy that we derive from narrating and ruminating on these beautiful instances of His glory. The glories of the devotees and the glories of the Lord are one and the same. It is the same story. It is the same Bhagavatam. It was a joy offering this to you in this session of Vahini Satsang. If you have any thoughts, any comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. So grateful to you for being with me through this beautiful journey of soaking in His beautiful message in Sandeha Nivarani. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.